You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by The Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. But today, we're talking about an annoying barrier that's standing in the way of a lot of our summer adventures, and that is gas prices.
Vicki, these gas prices are killing me. I hate to be like a downer about it, but this is a very real thing for a lot of Oregonians, a lot of people around the country this season. Because I mean, like, look, I normally like to spend my sunny spring and summer days driving out to trails in the gorge, taking day trips to the coast. Mm-hmm. But as gas prices continue to climb and continue to climb, it's just like really hard to justify taking what I suppose you might call more of those frivolous day trips.
Totally, totally. I feel like normally, you know, here in Oregon, you pull up, we have the privilege of our gas being pumped for us. And normally I'm like, okay, I'm expecting it to come out. I drive a small SUV and I expect my tank to be filled. Maybe it'll be $50 to $60 since I've moved here in the past year. And, you know, I give the attendant my card and that's what I kind of am thinking of. And then, you know, now I'm pulling out spending $75 and I am just absolutely not having it. You know, now I'm just watching the numbers tick up and just cringing in my car sitting there.
And like, I get that it's not like that much more money in the grand scheme of things. You're talking about an extra $15, $20. But like, there's something psychological about it too, where I'm just like, man, is it worth it? You know, is it worth taking this trip, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours out into the gorge or wherever, if it's going to mean filling up my tank, you know, maybe twice in a day, if you're going to drive that far.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and look, we're not here to complain or just to complain. We're here to complain a little bit, but we also want to offer some very real solutions to any of your fuel-related angst by way of some good recommendations of outdoor adventures or local day trips that might be just like a little bit closer to home.
Exactly. And we should note that when we say close to home, we're talking about the Portland area, and we recognize that might not be home for everyone listening, but since that's where we are based, that's where we will go from. So, Jamie, with that said, where should we start?
I feel like we should get one big one out of the way. It's sort of, I think, the obvious thing people think of. Where can I get outside if I am in Portland? And that is Forest Park, of course.
Of course.
We've got previous episodes about Forest Park. You can go back and listen to it. I did a guide called Forest Park Unraveled. You can go look at that. In short, there are like dozens of miles of trail in Forest Park.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of trailheads, bunch of cool things. If you want to get out there, it's a great place to do it. Check out a part of the park you haven't been to before, if you've been to some parts before. I think it's definitely a really cool spot to explore.
Yes, closest to Northwest Portland. And I often take my dog Stella out just to, you know, have like a nice steady walk in the woods, basically. Mm-hmm. And every time that I've been out there on the trail, I think I usually do like the Leif Erikson trail or just a portion of it. And everyone there is just so happy to be out there. I don't know. It's because I usually am there on sunny days and people are soaking up the sun. But you know, everyone's just out there enjoying the tree canopy, enjoying the mossy trees, the little stream running through. And it's just so nice, especially so, so close and convenient.
Exactly. Exactly. So folks, check it out if you haven't before, or go there. If you need a close in spot to go hiking, that's, I think, a great candidate.
Absolutely.
If we're talking about just a little farther out, maybe someplace that you haven't explored or haven't explored quite more, I love going to Savi Island. Vicky, since coming here, have you spent a whole lot of time out at Savi?
I have not, but I've heard such great things. Correct me if I'm wrong, is there strawberry picking on Savi Island? Or I think there's pumpkin patches too. Yep. A lot of stuff going on.
That's the thing. Most people, I think, when they go to Savi, they're there for either pumpkin patches, berry picking, or they're there for the beaches. Of course, it is home to one of the Portland area's two nude beaches. So very popular area, as well as the non-nude beaches as well. But it's also a great spot to go hiking. I think it's like one of these awesome low-key hiking spots that certainly there's people out there. It's not one of these like hidden spots. You're not going to see anyone out there, but it's not the one I think everyone thinks of when they think about hiking. So there's a few trails out in Savi Island that I love to go to. The one that I go to, I think, most often is Warrior Point, which kind of is a trail that leads just along through the forest and along the sort of the river beach there up to the northern point of Savi Island or close to it. You know, it's a little bit of a longer trail, but it's flat. And it leads to this really tiny, cute little lighthouse, the Warrior Point Lighthouse at the top of it. And it's just like a fun attraction and I think a really cool way to spend a warm summer day.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. So what is the trail like? Are you walking like close to the water or how long is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close to the water. I mean, you can definitely see some river views along the way, some mountain views if it's a clear day, but it's also forested. It's one of these things where if it's a wet day or if it's in the wet season, it's going to be pretty muddy. So I kind of like it in a little bit more of the drier season. But all said, it's about 7 miles round trip out and back. But elevation gain is like, we're talking like, you know, let's see, Oregon Hiker says 10 feet of elevation gain. So it's a flat hike. It's a pretty little hike. So it's a sort of like a nice long walk, if you will.
That sounds so nice. Did you say you're able to go into the lighthouse at all, or is it something you see and kind of take it in?
No, it's just, you see, and it's a very, very small, like two-story lighthouse.
Oh.
And it's closed up. It's, I'm sure, probably covered in graffiti. you know, it's one of those spots, but it's cool. It's one of the few river lighthouses we have here on this lower stretch of the Columbia. So just, I think, a really, really cool spot that's a little bit different.
Wow. Okay. Again, adding it to the list of things.
For folks who want to do other hiking on Savi Island, just shout out a couple of trails. Oak Island is a good spot to go hiking through some cow pastures and out to some beautiful areas and views of Mount St. Helens. And the Wapato Greenway is another spot to go hiking. Savi Island as a whole is a spot that historically was the site of some of the largest villages of the Chinookan peoples who were originally here on this land. So this is a place that is really verdant and has a lot of natural resources, obviously, people who used to live there. So today it's sort of known as more farmland and recreational areas, but it does have this really nice, rich cultural history as well.
Amazing. Sounds so lovely. So lovely. And speaking of lovely places, I would like to talk about the Portland Japanese Garden. Because it is one of my favorite spaces in the city. I can't believe it's in Portland. Because when you go there, you're just like transported to the ultimate peace oasis. Like, it's so nice.
It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite spots in the city. I feel like every year I say, I just need to get a membership already. And just like go there all the time.
Yeah.
And this might be the year I do it. Because it's right there in Washington Park. Mm-hmm. Which has a bunch of things right across from the International Rose Desk Garden. So the location is wonderful. And just like you said, Vicky, yeah, you step inside and it's like this transformative experience.
Yeah.
Feel transported to this serene, lush garden. It's so well manicured and there's so many little pockets in there. I feel like I want to go find a mossy rock and just meditate for a couple hours, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And so I recently took a tour there and I highly recommend taking a tour. because you really get to know how intentional every detail in this garden is, between things like the Zen garden to just like the slats in the wood in some of the buildings are supposed to mimic how trees are in a forest and little things like that. In my most recent visit, so the first time I went was when I was visiting Portland to just find a place to live. So that was about a year ago. And when I went recently, though, they had these bonsai trees on exhibit, and they are hundreds of years old. So cool just to look at and be like, I cannot believe how old this thing right in front of me is. It's insane. I cannot recommend the Japanese garden enough.
I'm with you. Absolutely. And folks, if you have not been in a while, they did a major renovation just a few years ago, maybe a number of years ago now. So they've got a new cafe and a new plaza and a new gift shop and all kinds of stuff. So they did it, you know, it looks a lot different than if you went there, say, 10, 15 years ago. So definitely check it out.
Admission, you can buy your tickets online ahead of time. It's $20 for an adult ticket. And you can also, hot tip, you can make reservations for the cafe ahead of time, the line, and get some really great green tea, some little snacks, miso soup, and just sit in such an amazing space.
Awesome. That's a great tip right there. I'm going to take advantage of that, I think. Well, sort of moving from the really quieter experience to maybe something that's a bit more adventurous, a bit grander. I know folks in Portland area love to go to the Columbia River Gorge as a day trip. As we mentioned, a lot of those hikes in the gorge, especially farther out, you know, it's a good hour and a half, 2 hours at some of those places. And it can be, you know, a lot on the wallet when you're talking about filling up your car to get to those places. But there are a few spots kind of more towards this western side of the gorge, kind of the mouth of the gorge, if you will, driving into Portland. My favorite is Oxbow Park, which is along the Sandy River, just a bit upriver from where it meets with the Columbia River. A really beautiful bend in the Sandy, and there's just some really great old growth forest hiking trails and some nice river beaches down there. A lot of room to spread out. It's just, I think, a phenomenal park run by Metro down there. So that's long been sort of one of my go-to close-in day trip spots. It's not super far from Portland, but it definitely is far enough that you feel like you're getting out of the city and getting into nature. And it's beautiful in all seasons.
Is that one of those spots when it's just really nice outside or people are looking to, like, you know, get a little tan, sit by the water? Is that a go-to for that type of thing?
Well, I mean, I'd say Savia Island was the go-to for that kind of thing, definitely see people out there at Oxbow too, because there's a lot of river beach there. I mean, right now, obviously the rivers are running a little bit high, but when they're running a little lower, there's a lot of space to spread out there. And it's, I think, a perfect sort of lower key spot to do that. But even lower key is those forested hiking trails there. Because a lot of people are there for the river.
Yeah.
Not as many people are there for the forest. And there are some phenomenal, huge trees, lush forest there. That's what I like to do there.
Oh my gosh.
And if it's a hot day, especially, you can hike through there and get a little shade, feel a little bit of cool dampness of the forest. That's a great way to do it too.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so great. Another spot, Sandy River Delta. Specifically for me, taking Stella out to Thousand Acre Dog Park, that area is great because you feel like, you know, you're driving, you're getting out of the city, you have what feels like literally 1,000 acres just in front of you to let your dog roam free. There is a trail that goes through the woods. You can go by the water, let your dog take a little dip, and, you know, it feels like you're just out and about, away from the city, and tire your dog out a little bit. It's a great combination of things.
That's such a perfect spot. I went there once, and I think I was literally the only person there without a dog. It is four dogs and four dog owners. And it's great that there's a spot for that, I think.
You know, dog's optional. If someone out there is listening and you want to go there and just run around, you maybe you don't have your own dog, but you want to pet some dogs, highly recommend this spot. You will find a lot of dogs there.
Totally. And one more spot in that sort of close-in gorge area, located just really about halfway between Sandy River Delta and Oxbow, Dabney State Recreation Area, a smaller park just along the Sandy River. Just a nice spot if you're looking for some place to go sit by the river, get a little sun, splash in the shallows, do a little, you know, floating, maybe just sort of get in the water. It can get very popular, obviously, on hot summer days, but that's a nice sort of close-in spot too if you're looking for something else.
Sounds great. Now we just need the rain to stop and the sun to come out so I can enjoy all of these spots that we're talking about.
Exactly. Well, let's say we get one more recommendation in here.
Okay. How about something in the suburbs, maybe?
Yeah, I like that. There's, you know, I think a lot of great hiking trails in the suburbs. So if you get out of Portland proper and you kind of get into Beaverton, Gresham, Oregon City, Tualatin, there's all kinds of great parks and areas to hike that are just right there. Too many to name right here. But if you just want to list a couple off here, Tualatin Hills is a beautiful spot with a lot of trails and a lot of space to roam. A really cool spot to explore. Cooper Mountain, which is a sort of a more of a place to get some good views. I think it's a smaller kind of area. I've not been there myself. And then out in Clark County across the river, if you go out to Camas, which is just a fun little small town. I used to live there for a few years. It's a great spot. There's a park called Lacamas Park that has a couple of small waterfalls, some little hikes, some little lakes, just a nice spot to walk around and get out in someplace different.
Sounds like a hidden gem.
A lot of those in the suburbs. I tell people all the time, get out of the suburbs. There's a lot of spots out there.
Well, we will talk more about local places that make great day trips right after a short break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back from a little break, and we just discussed some local to Portland area hikes, day trips, places you can explore the outdoors, not have to travel that long. But we're also going to talk about some local destination towns nearby. So, Jamie, where should we get started on this?
I think we should start at the place that Portlanders love to avoid for no good reason. And that's Vancouver, Washington.
Tell me about the. I don't know the background on this. Why is that?
Right. I mean, honestly, I think it's like traffic, probably. Rush hour traffic going from Portland to Vancouver is a nightmare. We all know this. But if you are, you know, going at any other time of day, it is really easy to get into Vancouver and really quick. And downtown Vancouver is wonderful. There's so much to do down there.
It is. It really is. One of my favorite spots is the Mighty Bowl, a great spot for lunch. Have you been there before, Jamie?
Oh, yeah. I've been there for breakfast mostly.
Really?
One of those acai bowls.
Oh, yeah. Great acai bowls, great smoothies, some little bakery treats. Literally cannot go wrong. They have some great vegan options. So, so tasty. All the sauce there. I'll stop myself before I really start ranting because I love it.
Yeah. The food scene down there is wonderful, isn't it? There's just so much. I know there's the new Vancouver waterfront that they've been building up over the last few years where there are a bunch of restaurants now with some really good views right on the river. That's a great spot to go if you're looking for that kind of experience. But I also just like the downtown scene.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Walk a few blocks. There's, you know, coffee spots and whiskey spots and, you know, Thai restaurants and pizza and I mean all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there is one store called Kindred Homestead Supply that's all about like low waste living, and they offer different workshops there, which is awesome. You can learn to like composting with worms. It's awesome.
All that is not to mention Fort Vancouver, which is right there in Vancouver. which I know a lot of people sort of, if you grew up in the area, maybe you went to on a field trip as a child. but those who have not been there, it's a cool historic site. And even better, I like sort of this walk or bike ride you can take from downtown Vancouver along the river and then up over the land bridge that takes you over Washington 14 over to Fort Vancouver. It's a nice little walk, a nice little bike ride, a great way to walk or bike off any of the food and or drink that you may have consumed during the day.
What other local nearby towns should I add to my list to visit?
Well, Salem, I think, is another one too that people overlook.
Okay.
I did a series on Salem last year, and we have an episode from last year about that. But to sort of go back over some of those things, I mean, Salem, again, it's Oregon's capital, obviously, but I think for some reason, again, people don't really like to go there. There's this idea that there's nothing to do in Salem. And I held that idea for a long time too. And it's this totally baseless, bias about this city. There's a bunch of stuff to do. And I think it's especially good in the springtime, early summer. There's a lot of really beautiful gardens in Salem. Just scattered throughout the city and some really beautiful parks as well. Minto Brown Island Park is one of those places. Riverfront City Park, right there, kind of near downtown Salem, has a beautiful sort of modern bridge and some art and a lot of open space. And you can walk or bike from there to Minto Brown Island Park. So there's this kind of interconnected greenway in Salem that I just really, really enjoy. And just like you're saying, Vancouver, a lot of places to go eat and drink that are fantastic.
Jamie, I remember you did a video on things to explore and see in Salem. And I will tell you that video really sold me on Salem. I don't know if it was eating on the hood of a car because it was in the COVID times, but it looked like a great time.
Oh, it was. You know, I didn't love having a camera on my face as I ate the fried chicken beignet sliders covered in like powdered sugar. But those sliders were good. I got to say, they were really good.
Where were those from? Do you remember?
Yeah, those are from a place called Noble Wave, which is a Baton Rouge inspired restaurant.
Oh.
So they've got like king cake bread pudding. They've got like alligator and beignets.
Gosh.
But I will say, as long as we're talking about treats in Salem, I have to do my regular shout out for Don Bigote, the churro and ice cream food cart. That is phenomenal. They do churros like a dozen different ways, and it is just phenomenal. You gotta check it out.
I imagine churros a la mode. What ways are we talking about?
You can curl a churro into a lollipop and put it on a stick. I think they do that. Churro sundae is what I usually get there, which is like a ribbon of churro in a little cup of ice cream covered in like chocolate sauce. I had one that was covered in like chocolate sauce and fruity pebbles. You know, I mean, it's just like it is. They are mad geniuses when it comes to working with a churro, and I highly recommend it to anyone with a sweet tooth.
Wow! Oh my gosh! All right, where else are we headed? What other places around somewhere close to Portland should we hit up?
Yeah, well, the third spot I had in mind, so the last of these cities, these towns near Portland is Oregon City, you know, end of the Oregon Trail, of course. My mechanic is there. One of the reasons that I do that is because it gives me an excuse to go check out and hang out in Oregon City on a regular basis because there's like a bunch of cool stuff to do there as well.
Really?
So their little downtown is nice and there's some good restaurants and stuff like that. But what I love to do is take the municipal elevator, which is a really cool attraction, up onto the bluffs there overlooking the city and taking the McLaughlin Promenade, which is a paved pathway that leads just sort of along those bluffs over the city. Eventually, it'll give you a view of Willamette Falls, which is right there. It's just a nice little walk or a nice little place to sort of hang out and get some sunshine. Obviously, so Willamette Falls, they are working on a lot of sort of the transformation. The Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde owns that land now on the Oregon City side of the falls, and they're turning that into this sort of large, you know, cultural district, a place for people to come and stay in hotels, eat at restaurants, see cultural events, that sort of thing. That's going to be, I think, still a few years or more in the future. When that does happen, it will be, I think, one of the greatest draws, not just in Oregon City, but in the region.
Yeah.
But that's still a ways away. So I think we kind of have to sort of, you know, not count on that yet and just sort of enjoy all the other things that there are to do in Oregon City.
Definitely. Definitely. Any food recommendations in Oregon City that you got under your sleeve?
One that I tend to go to a lot is Ingrid's Scandinavian Food. It's just like a small little spot. But I love getting like, you know, a smoked salmon lefse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going in there, just grabbing a quick lunch like that. That's a great way to do it.
Mm, I love Scandinavian food. There's a food cart by me that has, that great smoked salmon lefse. Mm-hmm, So I am now hooked on that. So Oregon City, here I come.
I have become like a lefse freak. I just had some over this weekend at, I don't know if it's the same food cart, Viking Soul Food.
Oh, yeah. That is basically in my backyard.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love Viking Soul Food. It's such a great spot.
So, so good.
Oh, my gosh. Man. Well, you know, whether you're out there getting lefse or you're out there looking for a good hike, I think sort of the whole point of this is that there is a lot of stuff nearby that you can go to and explore without having to break the bank.
Exactly. And on top of gas prices, you know, having to go get your car fixed up like I just did, taking it in for your regular maintenance, it really will rack up a bill. So if you're looking to save some pennies and stay nearby, hopefully we helped you out a little bit.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is, it's like really easy to get down about the gas prices and all that. But I think it's also, you can kind of reframe it as like, well, this is a cool opportunity to explore some stuff closer in that maybe I've overlooked.
Exactly.
Because I've wanted to get out to all the grand stuff,
right,
the coast and the gorge and Mount Hood and all that. So it's a good opportunity, I think.
Yeah. Explore where you currently are and places you've overlooked before. You never know what's right under your nose that you've been missing.
Well, folks, in the meantime, you can go ahead and continue listening to Peak Northwest. Watch our videos on the Oregonian's YouTube channel. And view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on OregonLive.com/travel and HereIsOregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoyed the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at OregonLive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you're interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicki Connor, alongside Jamie Hale and Andrew Thien.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.